Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to the night shift where all your fears, all your concerns can be washed away and replaced with positive thoughts and a touch of love and maybe even a Krispy Kreme donut. Listen for my co-host Q, what's going on with you?
Hey D, what's going on, man? Love the donuts, brother. Love and miss the donuts, man.
Man, I'm telling you, man, if they took away Krispy Kreme donuts, I really don't know what I would do. I think it would be tough. I think I would need counseling.
You know, I think you and I both would need counseling, and I'm trying to stay away from them, but they keep calling my name, man. They are calling my name on the daily.
Man, have you tried these new Crunch? They're Girl Scout cookie crunch bars, but they have all the different flavors of the Girl Scout cookies.
No, that's not. Are they good?
Woo! Goodness Lord, yes. You know, Jesus answers many prayers. And I tell you, this is one that somebody shot up that they forgot about. But they have these little crunch bars. And the crunch bars are in all of your favorite Girl Scout cookie flavors. So, like, they have Thin Mints. The one I'm eating right here is called Caramel and Coconut. I'm trying to tell you, it is off the chain. So anyway, I want to, what did you say?
No, I was saying really.
Yes, really. And you need to make sure that you go out and copy a box of those, and I will be by to make sure that I can eat some of them. So we're going to get right into the show. First of all, just happy to be back. We've been off for a while, but now we're trying to get back into the groove of things. Every week we're going to be bringing you a show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I want you to tune in right here. We're going to be talking about news. We're going to get back on some of the guests that we had on. Going to have on some new guests coming at you. So I'm really looking forward to everything that the night shift is going to bring to you. Q, man, you happy to get the show back rolling?
Hey, you know what, man? I missed the show, brother. I will tell you that, man. I mean, we've been on a hiatus, you know, done some great things personally, man, back in the gym, working out since we eating all these Krispy Kreme donuts. But, man, in light of the current political turmoil that this wonderful country is going through, I think that the night shift is needed, man, to give a voice to people, to allow them to hear some fantastic viewpoints, you know, to hear the support that we both have for candidates and different people that we think are you know, poignant people to discuss current events, you know, from different things going on in the media, from the entertainment side to, you know, things such as Black Lives Matter. You know, I mean, it's a forum, man, that we have for the people that allows us to continue to voice our opinions on various matters that are going on in the news, man, and around us and in our lives now, man, you know.
And for those of you who've never listened to the show before, this is a very lighthearted show. We get into some great debates. You know, hopefully we're going to bring up some good points on both sides. But at the end of the day, this is all just debate. We don't take any of this to heart. Q and I disagree on a lot of things politically. But at the end of the day, Q, do we let that interrupt our friendship at all?
Hey, not at all, man. I'm going to tell y'all this, to all the listeners out there in the world. Man, I love Delane. He's my brother, man. You hear me? I mean, his kids are my kids. My kids are his kids. But if he says one more thing about my president, that would be real fight. I mean, I would let him get shot in the foot or a big toe. I'll take a bullet in any other way.
Whoa.
My president.
Whoa, brother. I don't say anything about your president. I let your president do what he does. And at the end of the day, if I do have a problem with it, I do voice my opinion. And it's just my opinion, and it's just one man's opinion. But at the same time, I will not agree with someone for the sake of agreeing with them. And if it's not what I believe or if it's not what I think, I'm just going to say so. Some people going to like it, some people not going to like it. But at the end of the day, I got to be me. And, you know, I think that, you know, we can all get along if we're willing to listen to each other, if we're willing to just kind of consider someone else's point of view. I know I've learned a lot of things, period, just even outside of politics, by being willing to listen to maybe another point of view. So, you know, we just want to encourage everyone who listens to this show to just really put yourself in someone else's shoes and allow yourself to consider that maybe there is another way to look at something. And maybe it's not what you believe. Maybe you won't believe it ever. But if you'll just allow yourself to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, maybe you can see where they're coming from. And I put myself in the president's shoes. I put myself in, you know, other politicians' shoes that I don't believe, that I don't necessarily agree with. But I can understand where they're coming from. I don't think that conservatives are bad people. I don't think that liberals are bad people. I just think that we have a different way of looking at things that can sometimes, really, really bring out, it can really, really bring out ideas that other people don't agree with, but sometimes they just don't know how to, they just don't know how to say, hey, I don't agree with that. So we're going to learn how to do that. Go ahead, Q.
No, I was going to say, man, I think you're right. I think that is a perfect segue, man, as we start to kind of look into some of the news articles and some of the current events that are going on that we specialize in here on the Night Shift.
Oh, for sure.
So,
for sure.
But, I mean, so, man, what you got? What you think we got to talk about in news today, man? Where you want to start today, man?
Well, first place I want to start is, of course, Kim Davis. Kim Davis has, of course, she's the clerk who refused to sign the marriage certificate for the same-sex couples. And it has, of course, just, I mean, been blown, I think, completely out of proportion, even to the point where she was with Mike Huckabee, who's, once again, a GOP candidate for president. And I'm just looking at that whole situation, and basically, you know, what you have is someone who is, I guess from her standpoint, standing on her beliefs. But then again, you know, being an elected official, you know, I do understand that she has a job to do. My concern comes in where she ends up going to jail for not performing her job duty, which at the end of the day could, of course, be performed by someone else. She could be reassigned. She could be let go. I really didn't think it needed to be taken to the point where she had to go to jail. That's where I'm really trying to gain a little bit more insight into just everything that's going on with that case, man. Well, what did you think? What were some of your thoughts, Q, when you first heard about the situation? You know, you saw that she was not doing as, you know, of course, she had been instructed to do. What were some of your thoughts?
You know what, man, instead of the stage with Kim Davis, man, people got to kind of think about, to me, you got to look at it from a couple of different things. You know, she is the county clerk in Kentucky, in that particular county, man, and she's responsible for issuing various licenses. In this case, man, she's been mandated by the Supreme Court to issue licenses for all people that want to get married. That's for heterosexual couples. That's for all couples now. You know, so the fact that same-sex couples can marry, the fact that heterosexual couples can marry, by the law of the land, all couples have that option to now be able to wed. And so with regard to Kim Davis, I think the part that people are having issues with is that she has not done her job. And her job is not the normal kind of job that will allow you to just say, hey, I'm not going to do that. It's the type of job that you have to protect. And when you're serving the public's interest, you have to do what's in the best interest of the public and do what the laws say. And in this particular case, the laws say that she has to provide the census to all people. And with her not doing that, I think that she's found in contempt of court. And I think that in actuality, man, she should be held in contempt of court because she has not allowed employees under her to fulfill her job based upon her own religious beliefs. And I think that that's a very slippery slope when you start talking about you're not going to fulfill things when you're taking a public oath. This is not a private company. She's taking an oath for to serve the public. She's elected. And she wasn't elected to do just what she personally feels. She was elected to do a job. And when you violate people's civil liberties, you in turn should pay the consequences. And in this particular case, she had to go to jail. And personally, I think she should have been in jail a lot longer. I think, I don't think they should have let her. I think they should have fined her. Go ahead, D.
Well, I think that's very interesting, man, that that you don't think that there was another way around it, that there was a better out than to send her to jail. Because from my view, I thought that sending her to jail for that was purely ridiculous. Just from a standpoint of, okay, these are her religious beliefs, and she's not willing to do what you want done. Replace her. Replace her.
Well,
that's it.
Well, that's
the thing.
I think
you don't need to, and then have with her, whether you give her a week off or 2 weeks off, whatever the case may be, but you talk to her about, hey, you know what, we do understand, first of all, that when you took this job, that that your responsibilities were different. Now the responsibilities of this job will require you to sign same-sex marriages. Are you willing to do that? No. Okay. So these are your options, or, you know, walk away. You know, so, I mean, I just didn't feel like that was it. Go ahead.
What I was going to say was that works if you think of it from a corporate perspective, but she's an elected official. And in Rowan County, Kentucky, where she is, she would, in turn, in order for her to be reassigned, like you were alluding to, from a job perspective, in order to enforce that, you have to have the legislature in Kentucky do that. And that's the problem. It's not just a simple, oh, do your job. She said she wasn't going to sign it because her name was on it. So I think you got a couple of, to me, you've got a couple of issues. You've got, one, she's not serving the public interest. She's in direct violation of the Constitution. And, well, I shouldn't say the Constitution. She's in direct violation of the Supreme Court and the ruling that they just put forward. She has, her job as a county clerk is to enforce the law. It's not based on her faith. If she doesn't like it, she should have resigned. She said she didn't want to resign. So my thing is, if you're not going to resign, then you need to do what the laws state you are supposed to do. You can't cry and say, oh, well, my faith doesn't allow that. Because then it's a very slippery slope. Because if she didn't want to do it, she could have just, again, she could have stepped aside. She had some deputies. She said that she could not, her point was that her name is on it, her apostolic faith. And to me, it's very hypocritical because she's claiming that she's a Christian and she can't do this. Yes, she's been married and divorced. She's been divorced 4 times. So I don't know how she can claim faith in one sense and not necessarily in the other. To me, that seems very hypocritical. And I think that,
well,
you know,
how do her divorces come into play when it comes to her faith? Now, we know plenty of people who have been through divorces who have, just had, you know, things go in another direction in their life, but, you know, they're very strong in their faith. And we'd love to get your phone calls, 657-383-1317. We'd love to hear your opinions on this, 657-383-1317. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, her faith, and I hear people, you know, continuously bringing up her divorces, I think that we've gone overboard because A has nothing to do with B. And when you talk about, you know, whatever's happened in her life from that standpoint, I'm not sure what type of person she is now. I know what we see in the media, and I know what, you know, she's been trying to do. But I said there was a better way to handle it than the way it was handled. You know, we're going to get into the whole Hillary Clinton email situation later on, and the way she handled that. But I think that there was a better way to handle this situation. I just see no reason for, you know, us to be filling jail cells with people who are, you know, really, in a sense, just trying to do what I guess they feel is right. While it might not necessarily be our particular point of view. And this young lady today, you know, it's kind of funny because you talk about how big this was blown out of proportion. But, I mean, she was escorted by Mike Huckabee today, you know, one of the GOP presidential hopefuls. And I'm just like, wow. Like, I mean, you know, Mike Huckabee goes down, you know, just to, you know, be there for this young lady's release. But for a lot of people, just as, you know, people stand up for gay rights, You know, you have to allow people to stand up also for their religious rights, whether it's a young lady trying to, you know, wear a dress a certain way when she comes to work, you know, going to work for a particular company. You know, there are particular things that people, you know, that they hold dear to their hearts. And, you know, we don't always get to say that these people are, you know, crazy, because what I see right now is that, you know, for a lot of Christians in the United States, anytime they express their faith, it seems to me that they're being made out to be total clowns. And that's sad, because rather than people, you know, pointing out what it is about their faith that really bothers them, and they point out some very, you know, specific points, it's nothing. It's all just this vague, oh, well, she's crazy, and, you know, what's she thinking, and how could she do that? But it's nothing really specific. And so, I mean, it really, really bothers me to see that. And this has been taken to another level already by the people. They played the Rocky song, from what I understand, as the young lady came out. And basically, I guess that it was found out by, of course, the people who own the copyright, the Eye of the Tiger, that the song Eye of the Tiger was played as she came out, of course, to the rally, right? And, you know, they're basically issuing a cease and desist letter, and because it doesn't reflect their views. And, hey, man, look, I get it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just so overboard.
But see, I think the problem is that Kim can have that argument, right? She can maybe feel that way at home, but because she's an elected public official, you can't just do what you feel personally. That's not what the position calls for. If you think about it from another perspective, that same rhetoric is what was used to fight the Civil War. It's that same, this is our way of life, I don't want to change it, you're not going to make me do it. That argument was the direct correlation that was used for segregation. You look at schools, all types of things. This is our way of life, my Christian faith says this and that. It's not that people are ridiculing her because of her Christian faith. You can believe what you want to believe. I believe she actually injected that when she said that I can't violate my conscience and I'm doing this on the authority of God. That's not necessarily accurate, because, again, if she didn't want to do that particular job because of her faith and her beliefs, she could easily have stepped aside. She didn't want to do that. And in my opinion, she's trying to use this as a she's trying to stand up for something in a way that is totally illegal. And again, my personal views on same-sex marriage may be different. You know, how I personally feel and what I'm forced to do at work are two different things. I may say, well, you know what, I'm not really for it, but that doesn't mean that I can impede on someone else's right. And I think that's the part that people forget, is that from a religious perspective, she's looking at things in a theocracy. And the basic tenet of our country is a separation of church and state. As an elected public official, you have to be able to separate church and state. And she didn't do a very good job. She violated the orders of the court. The judge said, you know what, we are going to put you you're kept in contempt because I told you to do it. Her points were simply that she wanted to, these licenses have her name, it violates her faith, and she's not going to do it. She didn't say that, and the compromise that's been come up from the courts has been that the deputies, the people that work underneath her, five of the six, have done that. The problem that you run into now is, so there are a lot of memes going around on social media talking about, well, I can't issue you a fishing license. People that work in, you know, places that issue fishing licenses or hunting licenses, I can't issue you a fishing license because I'm a vegan, because that violates who and what I believe. So it's a very slippery slope when you say public officials suddenly can't do their jobs. Again, if you don't like the job that you're assigned to and it violates your personal faith, then by all means exercise your right to leave and find another job. That to me is a very simple thing. She didn't want to leave her $8,000 a year job that she was doing. And I think that that's the part that even the ACLU mentioned when she went to jail, she's been out. As long as she doesn't impede the issuing of licenses in this particular county, she's fine. So that doesn't violate her faith. Her attorneys have now said that because it has her name is on it, that they're arguing that the licenses are invalid.
and that they can't be issued until her name is removed. That would require a special session of the legislature, and the governor in Kentucky said he wasn't going to call the session back for that. They don't meet again until January. So I think all of this, if you think about it from the political arena, which we can kind of segue into, you look at Mike Huckabee, this is not really anything to do with him. It has nothing to do with faith. People are looking at her as some type of martyr for standing up to the man, standing up to the government, standing up to the Supreme Court, when in actuality she's making herself look retarded and silly because she's not doing her job. She's violating her job, and she's doing illegal actions. So personally, what I'd like to see is her end up in jail for longer and be fined because she's not doing what she swore an oath to do.
Yeah, but you can't. But that's like you being hired to do one thing and then coming in and then your company coming in and saying, hey, you know what? We know you. We hired you to do this. But at the same time, this definition of changing, and that's part of the issue that you get into when you go to changing the definitions of things. So when you get to changing the definitions of whatever you're changing the definition of, you do put people in an awkward situation because now what I thought I was getting into is not what I'm getting into. You know, it's no different than, you know, you hire a CEO to, you know, come in your company and do one thing, but then all of a sudden you switch it and say, hey, you know what? We know that you have these deep religious beliefs, but at the same time, really what we hired you to do was come in here and, you know, cut these jobs. We really don't want you to save these jobs. We really want you to cut these jobs. Oh, okay. What you're saying is you want me to do something totally different now than what I was hired to do. I agree with you that if she cannot do her job, she should step down. What we disagree at is she didn't have to go to jail for that. Now, if she didn't want her name on those licenses, that's a separate issue. And her impeding those people from being able to get their marriage licenses, that's a separate issue. I think that, you know, someone should be brought in. And like I said, this has been handled poorly. It's been totally handled poorly. You know, and whoever she reports to, that's the person to me that looks like, you know, they really don't know what's going on. Simply because of the fact they should have went down there and said, hey, you know what, look, I get it. That's not what you're willing to do. So right now, your name is on this stuff, all right? I cannot have you stay in this position if you're not willing to do that, all right? Do you not want your name on these mayor's licenses? No, I don't. Okay, so look, unfortunately, I'm going to have to remove you from this position. I get it. That's your religious belief. And you know what? You're entitled to that. What I'm telling you is we serve the public here. And right now, the public has asked us to issue these licenses. So, you know, that to me is just a better way to handle it than sending this lady to jail. That is just, ridiculous.
But see, the problem that we all forget, man, in all jobs, there's a small phrase at the bottom of your job description that says duties as assigned. And that doesn't mean that you get to pick and choose what you want to do at work. And so I think that's what you have to be flexible enough to incorporate the changes that come. Again, if this was a private company and she didn't want to sell somebody something, that's a whole different argument. Because then you can exercise her. You can refuse service to certain types of people. And she'd have to deal with a certain set of consequences that go with that. The thing about this that is scary, that a lot of people don't realize, regardless of your faith, is that simply put, she's an elected official. She has to represent all people, not just her. She didn't want to.
But we all get that. My point is that if you come in and then you want to change the language, you need to give me every opportunity to step down, or you need to remove me in a way that allows me to keep my dignity. I don't go to jail for something as silly as this, and because it could have been done. You know, it could have been done. With someone in there who can properly manage the situation, I think it could have been done in order to, you know, just keep this from being blown out of proportion from someone going to jail. It's just, for her to go to jail, man, it just makes me look at whoever is elected, whoever the elected official is that she works for. It says to me, you really could care less about me as a person.
what you want to do is use this particular moment to move an agenda forward. And that's what we see in media all day long, is things get pressed in order to move an agenda forward. That's it. As a matter of fact, over the weekend, I can't remember if it was this weekend or last weekend, Glenn Beck had a huge rally here, basically for peace, and it wasn't for Black Lives Matter. It was for All Lives Matter, I believe. It was like 25,000 people attended, right? Had no news coverage at all. What they covered was the shootings and the killings in Chicago. So if whatever you're doing doesn't fit basically the media's agenda, then it's a wrap in terms of you getting any type of media push or media coverage.
But yeah, I'm with you, man. I think that being shifting, I think that the whole Kim Davis is part of a rhetoric, which is why Mike Huckabee was there. You know, if we start to delve a little deeper into Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter, then we've got a different type of argument, you know, and we've got to look at things, you know, from a perspective of both sides, from the minority and from the majority. I mean, is that what you think, or what are you thinking?
Do we have to look at it? Wait a minute, say that again now.
I said if we compare Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter, we've got to take a step back and look at it and say, you know what, we have to look at it from the perspective of the minority, which is Black Lives Matter, versus All Lives Matter, which is the majority, which seems to forget that minority has a different set of issues and expresses things in a different manner. So how do you, which side of the fence do you fall with this? Again, I don't necessarily follow Glenn Beck. He's a little too far right-leaning for my taste. I think his viewpoints generally have a pretty good slant to them, and that I don't know one viewpoint of his that I've ever thought was articulate or correct.
You don't know one of his?
I don't know one point that Glenn Beck has ever made that to me was truly founded on logic. And
yeah, that show
was
accurate. You should definitely check him out, man. I definitely listen to not only people on left. I've been listening to people on left for most of my life, but probably for the last 7 or 8 years, I've kind of given a little bit of ear to both sides because it concerns me that I don't always use all the information that's available to make my decisions. If I'm only using one half of the information to make my decisions on, then, of course, I'm going to always be slanted in one particular direction. I think that's why so many of us who have been Democrats all of our lives, that's why we never really get to that point where we're willing to even listen to the other side, simply because of the fact that we've been so brainwashed that at the end of the day, we don't want to consider that there might be another way. And so I've really tried to kind of, you know, if I hear somebody is terrible, if I hear somebody, oh, this person is nothing, and, hey, man, that guy right there is such and such, you know what, I go listen to him myself. Because then I don't have to listen to, you know, because then when you tell me that, hey, you know, man, Glenn Beck is a fool, well, you know what, I listen to him sometimes. And to be honest with you, A lot of the things that he says have a lot of merit, period. So, I mean, to say that, you know, hey, you know, there's not been one thing that he's been right on, but you don't listen to him, that right there, it automatically says to me, hey, you know what, you got to get a little bit more information on Glenn Beck, because of the fact that, you know, when you do listen to him, I think you'll see, man, a lot of these cats, man, they don't think white or black, they think green. And I don't know if a lot of the Democrats that we paint to be bad people are necessarily bad people. They just think in a different way. I don't think a lot of the conservatives that we believe are bad people are bad people. They just think in a different way. So, you know, with that said, once I convinced myself of that, it allowed me to have some real open discussions with Democrats. It allowed me to have some real open discussions with some conservatives, and not to defend my point, not to even make my point, but just to hear their side. We don't know, and most of us don't know enough about conservative beliefs to really say, hey, you know what, that makes no sense. And a lot of us, at the end of the day, we end up saying, hey, we have this belief when we live our lives a totally different way. So we try to push beliefs off on other people that we wouldn't necessarily do ourselves.
I think that some of the I hear what you're saying. And in general, you should listen to a lot of those. You should always listen to both sides of the argument. The problem, I think, with when it comes to politics and a lot of these right-leaning, I don't even want to say conservatives, because I think conservatives and liberals, people look at those as derogatory terms now, and rather than saying what they are, rather than using the labels for more of what they are. I think when you listen to Glenn Beck, for me, when I hear the viewpoints, I just want to call BS, man. I mean, I want to just literally say BS, because you can't really believe what it is that you're spewing. You know, when you start looking at it's not black, it's not white, there is a racial element that comes into it. And I think that oftentimes it's overlooked and people dismiss it. They say, well, I'm not the person that persecuted you. I'm not the person that caused this system. But you are a person that's reaping the benefits of that system. And I think that's the point. I think that when you start looking at people such as Glenn Beck, they have a certain agenda that caters to a certain audience. That audience happens to be a certain majority currently. And that majority has a viewpoint that differs on Black Lives Matter. And they don't necessarily feel that Black Lives Matter. I think on a certain subconscious level they do, but then they are predisposed via the media and other things that they've experienced to suddenly think that, you know what, no, it's not. Black lives don't matter because they don't follow law enforcement. That just assumes that law enforcement is always doing the right thing, which is not. And that's the problem. And I think that when you listen to the rhetoric that some of these people, to me, honestly, when I listen to Glenn Beck and people that like him, it makes me throw up. I mean, it makes me sick because I can't believe that people can be as smart as these people are and be so unintelligent. Because when I look back and I see that and I think, oh, these guys are smart, they're really not. They're not even college graduates. They're dropouts. So I'm not really sure what they're
called. So what does it say that these guys are not college graduates? Because I don't put, you know, I know for me, and we think differently there too. I know a lot of people that have degrees. I know a lot of people that have master's degrees and PhDs. And, you know, just in all honesty, you know, I wouldn't let them manage my gumball machine. Simply because of the fact that I know how they think. You know, I know how they think. So with that said, well, what would go to explain their success? Because, and we're about to get into this too, and, you know, we talked about a racial component of things, and I think the next thing to kind of slide into would, of course, be Ben Carson and his, you know, running for the GOP nomination for president 2016. I mean, I knew, you know, from the jump that Ben Carson was, of course, going to have a hard time just because of the fact that he had Republican attached to his name. And that most people will not admit it. They'll just say, oh, no, I don't like him. But in actuality, having a Republican attached to his name is a major, major problem with him for the majority of African-Americans that go to the polls. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, talking about a racial component, you know, how do you think Ben Carson is going to fare? Just right now, we're just taking one step at a time. We won't say in an overall presidential runoff against a Hillary Clinton, just against the GOP field and against somebody like Donald Trump. Because right now, Ben Carson and Donald Trump have really kind of stood out from the pack as far as the conservative candidates or the Republican candidates. So how do you think Ben Carson is going to resonate with the with minorities who go to the polls?
Not at all. No, I do not. He will not.
I don't either.
He is terrible on all levels. Let me use my Charles Barkley. Terrible. He is terrible. Not T-E-R. It's a U in there somewhere. That's what he is to me. He and Clarence Thomas are the two worst people that I've seen recently spewing this conservative nonsense and trying to make it seem as though they have this wonderful enlightenment and they got to these places all by themselves, and they're the worst of the worst of the worst type of people that I've ever seen in my life.
Well, let me ask you this, and that's, you know, it's you know, and you and I, we, you know, of course, we do not agree on this at all. I think Ben Carson is a fantastic example of what it means to put in hard work and then to reap the rewards of that hard work. You know, you're talking about a guy that is a neurosurgeon. You're talking about a guy who, you know, separated the first twin connected at the head, okay? And, I mean, to have such a poor image of him, I mean, that to me, too, that's deep-seated. That has nothing to do with Ben Carson in actuality. It really doesn't. It's got to do with something.
You said he separated conjoined twins, right?
Correct.
That's his claim to fame? Really?
But that is a medical miracle. That is a medical miracle. All right. And my point is that, okay, and especially in the black community when we talk about, you know, building up black people and really, you know, not breaking them down, I mean, it's just not a good look as far as I'm concerned for us to look at him, you know, or for any Democrats to look at him and say, you know, anything negative without really being able to back it up with something positive. Because this guy is when you really think about it, this dude is, that's a good guy, regardless of what you think of him. I mean, really, when you look at everything that he's accomplished, I mean, this guy is really successful. And if he was a Democrat, I mean, there would be nothing but people saying that, wow, this guy is almost, you know, just the ideal candidate. But because he's Republican, he's not.
I don't even think it's, I think that it's the fact that he's a Republican is not necessarily the turnoff. He wrote a great book, which is Gifted Hands. I think from a medical perspective, he's a very talented person. I think that his logic is very flawed from his conservative approach. Not because he is a conservative, because again, I think the thing that most people forget, most of us are conservative on some things and more liberal on others. And I think that when you look at things from that viewpoint, I don't see where he can get to where he is with the thought process coming from Michigan, coming from Detroit, which is an urban inner city, and have this conservative approach. Because his conservative approach does not speak to the community from which he came. And therein lies the biggest problem. To me, his approach has always been, I got mine, you need to get yours. I was able to do it, therefore you should. And I don't think that that's the way that the economy should be run. I don't think that's the way the government should be. I don't think that's a society. That's how we should approach things.
I don't see why we would have a problem with someone saying, hey, you got to believe in you. I think that we have diminished that when you think about the successful people out there, that's the way that they think. That's the way that they think. They think, hey, you know what? I believe in me. You should believe in you. And it's not up to me to believe in you. It's up to you to believe in you. If I believe in you, that's a plus. But I got to have you believe in you. And I talk to my daughters about this all the time because, of course, you know, they both of my daughters play basketball. For those of you who don't know, who are my friends and may be listening, both of my daughters play basketball. And, you know, we tell them all the time, hey, you know what? Me and your mom, you know, all the people who come out and support you all the time, man, we believe in you. Absolutely nothing if you don't believe in you. And I can be able to push you and give you and do all those things that I can do for you, but if you're unwilling to do it for yourself, then you're going to be stuck. And I think that's where he pushes. And so, I mean, and I saw the movie. Did you see the movie, by the way?
I don't care for much about him, so no, I didn't see his movie on Gifted Hands.
You didn't see Gifted Hands with Cuba Gooding Jr.? That's my point. You so turned off by the fact that you're Republican, you won't even watch the movie Gifted Hands about
but
the
no,
man.
I'm, you know what? I'm gonna tell you what really turned me off. One of the statements that he made. Glenn, and I quote: "Before Obama, people barely noticed skin color. That goes back 150 years. Blacks were happy and grateful for what they were given." Ben Carson on the Mark Levin radio show.
And you know what, Q? What I will give
people
you.
People were grateful
what
for what they
you.
Were given.
Hey, look, brother, look here, man, Q. I'm not saying that he's 100% perfect. He said some dumb things. I've said some dumb things. We all have. But my point is, overall, I'm sure he said some more stupid things at the end of the day. But but those few little things that he said throughout his lifetime. I mean, really? That's what you're using to go off of to say I don't like this guy? I'm like, come on, really?
What I'm saying is, it's not that what he said is something he didn't put his foot in his mouth. I mean, just a moment ago, I said Constitution when I meant Supreme Court. That's making a mistake. This fool's logic is flawed. His thought process is flawed because he believes
that's
it. He believes that people should be thankful for what they're giving. And I think that's the problem. People have been given bad things. He's living in a dream world. I mean,
what do you do if you want more? But what do you do if you want more? You do what? You go get it, right? You don't sit there and wait on
you align yourself with the majority. What he's done to get more is he's aligned himself with the majority. He hasn't necessarily done much. If you look at, I mean, I'll give you an example. One of his main things that
Q, keep it real. You cannot celebrate Obama's accomplishments before he got in office and compare them with Ben Carson's dude. That's like comparing a kindergartner to a college graduate. You celebrate a community organizer, but at the same time you break down a neurosurgeon? Boy,
I didn't ask him to do. Now let me say this. President Barack Obama. I don't know if I were to have brain surgery that I would necessarily seek his opinion. But I would, from a community service, which is what politics and being the president is about, serving the community, that is who I would back, as opposed to someone who has crazy views on evolution, who is not really founded in science, who, again, is just spewing my Christian faith says this, so therefore I believe it. Really?
He knows more about your brain. He knows more about your brain than you do. He can tell you why you just thought that.
He doesn't appear to
be. He can tell you why you just thought that.
He doesn't appear to be able to use it. Well, the thing is, he doesn't appear to know how to use his brain. You can know a lot about things, but you got to be able to apply. And that's, to me, where the problem comes in. He doesn't do a very good job of applying things and using common sense. Because, again, common sense ain't so common. There are a lot of guys, again, back to your point about having degrees, when we talk about Glenn Beck. To me, what a degree says, one thing is that you can finish something that you start. That means you have commitment. Glenn Beck's claim to fame is he's a TV personality. And as I tell my children and what I learned at a very young age as a child, nothing on TV is real. So to me, Glenn Beck, like a lot of people I see on TV, they're simply caricatures. They're there for entertainment. We look at it as news because they get on and put on glasses and they speak a certain way and they stand up a certain way and they have the makeup on. But again, that's TV. That's entertainment. That's the whole purpose of TV. That's the whole purpose of Glenn Beck's radio show, is to entertain me. It's to take my mind away for an hour. Ben Carson, he's trying to take my mind away for an hour. He's a very intelligent man. Never said he wasn't. Don't think he's a very good man. Don't think he's a very logic-based man. Don't think he's very intelligent when it comes to politics and things of that nature. In neuroscience, can't really dispute him. In other ways of the world, he is lacking.
Well, let me ask you, do you feel like we need another politician, or do you need, or do you think we need somebody to come in that has maybe a different approach? Because I would venture to say that politicians have gotten us to where we are right now, which is not in a very good place.
Well, I think it's funny that you asked me that, because when I look at President Obama, I don't see necessarily a career politician. I see a man that was elected to do a job and has done a fantastic job. I see a person that has cared about people more than he's cared about his own bottom line. That's a person that I see. When I look at someone, some of the current candidates, again, Mike Huckabee, he wants to force his own personal rhetoric. I read the Bible daily. Well, maybe I personally do read the Bible, but what if I don't? What if I read the Quran? What if I read another text? Am I suddenly supposed to not be welcome in this country? Because to me, it's a very dangerous slope. Because it's funny, because with Trump, who is another presidential candidate, he's against immigrants. He's talking about anchor babies and people coming over here, when he in turn has five children. Four of them were born to women who are non-citizens, who his kids are by definition anchor babies. He is the epitome of what he spews he's against. His kids are here. Their mothers came over here and had children by people. They're not even citizens. And again, when you go back another step, these same people are the ones that stole this country from Native Americans.
So let's talk about this. And switching gears, kind of talking about Donald Trump. Why is Donald Trump so popular right now?
This is going to upset a lot of people, and I don't really care. Donald Trump to me represents, from a strictly scholarly perspective, Donald Trump represents the last bastion of white America swinging and saying that I'm in control. He represents a demographic which, when you look at the overall population of this country is becoming more brown, be it Hispanics, African Americans, Asians. It's a browning of this country. The current majority will be out of, I think they will, it's in 2026, is when they will lose the majority status. And Trump is basically saying everything that a lot of people are saying in their homes. I don't like immigration. I don't like Mexicans. I don't like Hispanics. I don't like any minority.
Do you think people say
that's how he feels? He says it, but then he uses them, he employs them in his hotel. He can't clean the rooms in his hotels in New York without the labor, undocumented labor that he's so against. I think that Trump's biggest problem, I think it sounds good. I think Trump is saying a lot of things that people want to hear. See, the founding of this country was founded on the premise of having open borders. Those open borders flooded the continent of North America, the United States, the continental U.S., and displaced an entire group of people that were already here. You had waves of people coming from various nations seeking a better life. Suddenly now that these people are here, they want to close the doors because they don't want anyone else to have the same type of life that they may have. That's the whole premise of the country. Now you want to build a fence, you want to build a wall across Mexico? I never heard them say that they want to build a wall across Canada. So it kind of makes me wonder, well, why Mexico? Well, there are poor people coming in. There aren't a whole lot of Canadians necessarily coming into the U.S. illegally. President Obama says, well, people are here. We need people to do certain types of jobs. We need the labor. We need those people here. Trump wants to use those people but doesn't want them here. We're only going to take the good ones. Think about it. What do you use when you're talking about taking the good ones? How do you decide who's good and who's bad? I mean, when you think about immigration, and I say this, think about it this way. How bad is it when you have people walking across entire countries that are giving their money to coyotes, people, the smugglers, to smuggle you into a country? You don't even know what's going to happen. You got women being raped all the way along the way. You got people, you know, risking lives for a chance at a better life. Think about how much better this country must be than wherever they are for them to be willing to do that. So for Trump or anyone else to suddenly diminish that and say, stay where you are, as if I should stay in squalor, as if there's no upward mobility, as if I shouldn't try to have a better life or to do the things that the women that you dated and have had children with have done, that to me says something.
Well, I think we, you know, once again, you know, we look at things from two different perspectives. I think that the effort to secure the borders, for me, has nothing to do with not wanting to allow people to come here, because absolutely people should be able to come here. I think that the effort to secure the borders more so stems from the security that we need to have here at the United States. And you talked about people, you know, flooding the United States and, of course, you know, coming over here to start a new life and all that good stuff. And, you know, there was a point when the world was a very different place. The world is not the place that it used to be. With the use of the Internet, with the recruiting tactics by ISIS and by everyone else, you got to know who's coming into your house at this point. And I always say this, when people talk to me about – hey, you know, hey, I don't want to build a border, blah, blah. Okay, tell you what, this is what we're going to do. Tonight, when you're ready to go to sleep, I want you to leave your front door open, all right? I got 20 people I'm going to go pick up, all right? I don't know who they are. I don't know where they came from, but I'm going to drop them off in your neighborhood, all right? Leave your door wide open. And then the next day, if you make it, let me know how it goes. I think that we have to start thinking about it in terms of today. Today is not many, many years ago when people could come over here and their intentions were not to harm anyone. I don't think that people's intentions are a lot. Most, the majority of the people that come over here right now, their intention, of course, is to work and help their families get, you know, onto a better life. And we do need to figure out a way to, you know, of course, get them over here. We do have laws on the books. I think we can absolutely, you know, find a way to expedite, you know, a lot of the people who want to come over here. But you got people who have tried to do it based on our laws. And for those people who have tried to do it based on our laws, if we're going to redo the laws and create a situation where they are allowed to come over here in an expedited process, then let's do that. But let's not slap the people in the face who are trying to do it the right way. You know, and of course, yeah, we're not putting people on the buses, sending them back home and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that that works. But at the same time, we do have national security to keep in mind, because we live in a world today, I think, that no longer wants people to defend themselves. They want you to wait on something to happen and then just feel sorry for you. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to feel sorry that, you know, that somebody in my family was shot or killed, you know, based on the fact that somebody was over here that, you know, we tried to deport time and time again, that was released from prison that shouldn't have been released from prison. I don't want your sympathy. I want you to do the one or two things that you could do, and I want you to focus on that, because that's something that the federal government should be doing, which is, you know, concentrating on the security of this country. And that is a part. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's kind of like, you know, we talk about building a border along, of course, Mexico and not really Canada. But you got to look at where they feel many of the issues are coming from. So if they feel like those issues are coming from there, then, of course, then that's where we need to concentrate. But, of course, we got to do something. It makes sense to me that you will want to know who comes in your house. You don't leave your front door open all week long because, you know what, you want your family protected. That's why you close your door. And you know what, you look through the peephole and you say, hey, who are you? Why do you want access to my house? And it's unfortunate. Everything went down the way it went down in terms of history. I do get that. I completely understand that. But today, where we are right now, this is where we work for. You know, we absolutely have to work for it.
But the problem is a couple points that I'd like to point out to you. You think about it, man, from the perspective that you just said, these are the laws, people should work within the framework. We were just talking about Kim Davis, and she just violated all those laws. But you don't want to send her to jail. You've got immigrants that are going to jail.
You can't change the rules, listen, though, brother, in the middle of the game.
But laws,
if you're going to change the rules in the middle of the game, then you need to let me know and give me some options.
Well, that's what I'm saying. These people are trying to work within that context, but they're being placed in detention for violating laws. But she's a person who's not being placed in detention for violating laws. So I think, again,
that's a very different situation. And when, at the end of the day, Kim Davis, if she wants her name taken off of those marriage certificates, that's the first thing that you need to concentrate on, because what she's telling you is, I don't want my name associated with that. So, okay, you don't want that, fine, then. We need to do that, but you're going to have to be removed from your job. Let's get that done. To send her to jail is just, it is pure nonsense. It is pure
nonsense. She violated
nonsense.
The law. That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter
what,
even though she violated a law, when she came to work, when she originally started that job, you have changed her responsibilities. Therefore, you change her responsibilities. You need to give her an opportunity to remove herself from that position. I 100% agree that at this point, the laws need to be followed with regard to with regard to those marriage certificates being signed off on simply because of the fact that that is a new law of the land. But with her being the person who was appointed to that position, being an elected official there, bottom line is, you know what, you need to give her an opportunity to get her name off of that if that's not what she wants. And you don't have to, I don't know, you don't have to make her look like a fool. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That to me, and that's where I lose my patience a lot of times with a lot of different things and don't want to listen to people when they go off on the deep end, you know, trying to make people look silly, because faith for a lot of people is a very, very important part of who they are. It's just a very, very important part of who they are. And for all the people that, you know, we look at, whether it be a Glenn Beck or Ben Carson, and we try to down them, we try to dog them, you know, a lot of them have been very successful, but we still want to call them fools. And there's a lot of successful people out there that I'm sure, you know what, have flaws. But a lot of times we can learn from them. A lot of times we can learn from what they've done. And a lot of times our lives, you know, could be improved by taking maybe a little nugget. It's kind of like when I go to church. The majority of the churches that I've gone to, I probably agree with 90-95% of what the pastor says. And another 5%, I'm like, I don't know, brother. Maybe you and I disagree there. But I'll tell my pastor that because I'm a grown man. So at the end of the day, it's not that we agree 100% with someone, but you have beliefs, Q, that you hold very, very close to your heart. And, man, I respect that 100%. But at the same time, I need you to respect, you know, the things that I hold very dear to my heart. And we've got to all kind of give each other that same love, you know?
Hey, man, I'm with you, man. I think, again, when I look at some of these candidates, and I always try to look between the lines. I mean, people tell you what you want to hear, and I think a lot of it sounds good, but I don't necessarily, yeah, I don't agree with it, man. I think that when I start hearing people talk about ISIS, Daesh is a very terrible organization. But
who is that?
ISIS. I don't think ISIS is. I don't think ISIS and their tactics equal immigration reform, and I think that's a problem. I don't think they have anything to do with Mexico or any of the other immigrants that are coming here, to be honest with you. I mean, they're causing enough havoc in the Middle East.
People are smart.
I don't think that.
But, Q, these people are smart, and they recognize a weakness in your defense system. That's exactly what happened with 9/11. They recognized a weakness, and they exploited that weakness. So we made changes to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Now, we know that this border is open, and we know that these issues could come about. But at the same time, we're unwilling to make a change. For what? I don't even understand why not. I don't understand why you would not want to do that. You want it for your own house, but what you're saying is you don't want it for the United States. But you want it for your own house. And if you don't want it for your own house, like I said, open your front door, open all your windows, and allow some people to be dropped off in your neighborhood. Let me know how it goes. That's all, because that is exactly what you're doing. You're dropping off random people in these neighborhoods, and you're just telling the people, well, hey, man, we hope you make it out. Is that what they pay taxes for? I don't think that's what they pay taxes for. But, you know, we going around here and our government is handling so much and so have their hands in so many things that they shouldn't have their hands in, that a lot of times they don't have the resources that they need to put in the defense of America, you know, because they're spread so thin. And, I mean, when you put it to people like that, I think it really hits home, because you're not going to do that. You care about your wife. You care about your kids. You're not going to leave your front door open. So why would you ask America to do the same? So, I mean, that's just – go ahead, brother.
No, I was just saying, man, I think that, you know, I don't think that random people just want to take yours. I think that's just a fear. It's fear tactics. It's fear mongering, man. It's fear politics. I think that –
That's not fear. That's That's 100%. But you know that's 100% truth. You just had the case where the guy who came over here illegally had been deported four or five times, and the last time was let out of jail. You just had it happen, brother. That's not a fear tactic. That's actually happening. And you know that's happening. And to paint it as a fear tactic is that is disingenuous at its very least.
Really?
I'm telling you, brother, there is no way that you think that everybody coming across that border for whatever reason, and I'm not just talking about, we're not just talking about the people who live there who are trying to escape, you know, just basically the very, very, the very, very poor circumstances that they may be in, but I'm talking about people who with more sinister objectives that come from other places that are trying to come through there. Man, I just 100% believe, man, that we've got to watch out. We've got to put those things in place that are going to protect us all, because, man, there's some stuff out here that we just want no parts of. But once again, I go back to, we've changed from a, you know, I think from a nation that really, really wants to, you know, just be on the front end of things and say, hey, you know what, we prevented this from happening, to a nation who is more interested in basically feeling sorry for people when stuff happens that we knew was going to happen, that we knew we could have prevented. And it makes no sense. It absolutely makes no sense. If something was to happen, you know, to any one of my friends, you know, that, and it really, really hit home, I would be so upset. I would be so upset.
But you know, man, I have more worry not about ISIS or an illegal immigrant harming me. You know, the chances of that happening are smaller than the police doing something to endanger my life. That's the issue.
Well,
and I don't have an issue with police, but I just think that's more of a, that's to me more of a reality. You know, that's a higher probability of something like that happening. Now, again, you know, as we age, we mature, we don't necessarily place ourselves in that position. So I think, again, it's a different, you know, set of circumstances for some than others. But I think, you know, when we talk about the politics of the country from the presidential standpoint and other perspectives, you know, we have to think of all people. You know, we have to think about it when we were 18, you know, versus where we are in life now. And I think that's where a lot of people fall short. They just forget, you know, they're looking at it not necessarily from young, you know, youth-wise. But, you know, I think that when you look at, when you have people such as, you know, immigration, I mean, that in and of itself has a different way of just look at the objective. You know, do you open your borders to all people? I mean, do you have enough resources for everyone anywhere in the world to come here? Probably not. You know, there definitely should be a process. That process should be made a little easier. But we have to take into account that people are going to be here. You know, we have people all over the world that are migrating. I mean, you think these borders that we are establishing were not always there. I mean, we've always been able to, mankind has been able to float from area to area. You know, now, as man becomes stronger and you look historically, you know, you have people creating empires, they create rules, they create laws, they create bureaucracies. And I think that's what we have to kind of look at. You know, what exactly are we trying to create? What is going to be what's best for the country? And I think if we can figure out what that is for the majority, then we're able to kind of look at things and say, okay, cool, let's go forward. Let's figure out what we need to do. You know, let's move forward. Let's find a candidate that is going to do that. Let's find a person that's going to be able to do those types of things, not just, hey, you know, I'm playing on a single issue that's going to scare people and, you know, hey, this is my faith and we happen to go to the same type of church. Not the same church. You know, but the same type of church, or I tell you that I believe these things, and whether I do or don't practice that is a totally different thing. So that's kind of how we have to start kind of looking at it.
Hey, so let me ask you, you know, we touched on, you know, most of the candidates on the conservative side, on the Republican side, excuse me. Hillary Clinton, the whole email scandal thing, how do you think that's eventually going to play out? Do you think that's something that she's going to be able to escape? Or do you think that, you know, it might end up doing her in?
You know what? I think it's way too early to call either way. I don't really even see what the big deal is concerning the emails. I don't know what the issue is. I mean, what are we upset about? You know, what is the big deal? You know, what does she do that is so bad that, you know, I mean, what does she do with regard to the emails? You know, but forgive me, man, for my ignorance. I know that she's Hillary Clinton, but I don't know
why people are so upset with regard to her emails or Benghazi, which is what I keep hearing a lot of people say. I mean, what is it? What do you see as her, the crux of those things?
Well, for me personally, to me it made no sense that she would set up her own server at her home and they would allow her to do that. And I don't even blame it all on Hillary Clinton. I blame the majority of it on really almost on the United States government that they would allow the Secretary of State to have her own personal email. So is it really totally Hillary Clinton's fault? I don't think so. People get away with whatever you let them get away with. So she set up her own personal server. It seems to me, Q, that she's trying to hide something. And that's exactly what it seems to me. It just seems to me that she's trying to hide something. You know, they talked about the fact that, of course, this was her only email. She said that she never received any classified emails ever or sent any classified information. Well, if you're the Secretary of State, then that means that you never, ever received any classified information from anyone or sent any classified information to anyone. And you're the Secretary of State? Like, I don't even think she realized that's what she was saying when she said it. And most recently, she's come out and apologized. And I think that, you know, that's probably going to help her move forward. And I'm a big Bill Clinton fan, man. I thought Bill Clinton was just the coolest dude, you know. I think that, you know, things work well when he was in office. He worked well with the Republicans and all that good stuff. I vote for that dude in a heartbeat, okay? Hillary is, for me, she doesn't seem as though she would be a candidate that I would necessarily support just because there's just way too much going on. It looked to me as though something very, very shady was going on with those emails. Because at the end of the day, you know, you turned over what should have been an erased blank hard drive. I guess they were able to retrieve some of those emails. And I think the worst is yet to come. I believe that the worst is yet to come. I think they're going to continue to come out with information because there's been several people who have worked with her who have stepped forward and said they have additional emails. Who knows if that's legit? I don't even know if this guy is, if the guy who said it was serious. I think he was asking for maybe $500,000 for maybe 36,000 additional emails. And this was the guy who originally managed, I think, one of her servers, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just not a good look for me. It's not a good look from the government side that everybody there should be on a government email. You know, I mean, of course, you got classified information going back and forth, but everybody there should be on a work email. How many of us go to work for somebody that allow us to just use our personal email?
Well, I think that's it. You know, I think she used the email so that she would not necessarily be subjected to some of these political campaigns because she did have, some things that she wanted to do personally. I don't think it's anything wrong with it. I think people are using personal emails for a lot of different things.
How many people that work for big corporations that use their personal email? How many people you know that work for Pfizer or Kroger or something, and you emailing them at yahoo.com or Hotmail?
Hey, man.
Hey,
I think
Q,
that people
do. Hey,
they
don't
shouldn't.
Play with me. Q, don't play with me. Don't play with me, Q.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. But I think that she, you know, again, what is she doing that so wrong? I don't think her using email.
Well, we don't know. We don't know because we can't retrieve your email. We don't know what you did that was so wrong, but I bet you what. I bet you we're going to find out. I know they're pulling emails from everywhere. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but, I wish she was in a better position, man. You know, I really like to see good candidates, and I don't really want to be involved in this craziness with all of this email scandal and all that craziness. I really would just like to hear. I haven't even been able to hear what Hillary Clinton has been talking about. simply because of the fact that it's all been about this email scandal. I don't know what she's proposing. I know that she's very progressive. I know that she's super liberal, all that good stuff. But I really haven't been able to hear her ideas because I'm willing to listen. But I haven't been able to hear any of her ideas because this scandal, man, it's bad. It's really bad. The whole Benghazi thing is bad. And a lot of that stuff is, you know, it's not being, it's not being put out there by the media to the extent that probably should be, because most of our media is very liberal. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think she's getting a pass on a lot of things, but it's just because we have a very liberal media. And it's cool. You better know that, you know, so that you can get some information from somewhere else from time to time, so that you can just have something to compare. But it's really been a huge distraction for her campaign up to this point, I think. I just don't know. I don't even know if she does stick it out. Then at the end of the day, Bernie Sanders and anybody else who's coming along that's able to get out here and really get their ideas across to the people, they're going to have a leg up on her just because she's having to handle everything that she's having to handle right now.
Well, I wonder again what exactly is. I don't even know what Bernie. I don't even know Bernie Sanders' agenda is, man. To be honest,
you didn't know if he was saying it again.
I don't even know what his viewpoints are on things.
Well, I can tell you right now that he has. I mean, like, his numbers have been jumping, and he's got a lot of young supporters too. He's got a lot of young supporters. I'm very surprised about that, but. Man, Bernie Sanders is big time. I had no idea that he was that big time, but he's big time.
Gotcha.
So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to eventually hear somebody else's side of things. We'll be able to just kind of see what their ideas are, rather than focusing on all these different scandals and this and that. So that we can kind of have some things. I really want to get away from just career politicians anyway. So I'm not necessarily saying that I'm a big Hillary fan, but I think a lot of Donald Trump's and Ben Carson's appeal is that they're not establishment guys. You know, they're outsiders who are coming in. Donald Trump, you know, in particular, of course, who's funding his own campaign, man, that's a problem. That's a problem for... that's a problem for labor. That's a problem for a lot of different people who are used to cutting checks and having access. If you can't cut a check to Donald Trump and have access to Donald Trump, you know what? That's going to create an issue. So, I mean, I don't even know, you know, from a Republican standpoint, you know, with him being, I don't know if he's going to be able to get the GOP nomination, because I don't think it would be business as usual. And Donald Trump has a lot of ideas that kind of scare a lot of Republicans, because he's talking about even raising taxes on the very, very wealthy.
Donald Trump, part of his financial plan was to change the estate planning taxes, which was going to save his family $2.6 billion. I think when I look at Trump and what he represents and where he comes from, a lot of it is self, it's all about self. I mean, he's actually been on record in the previous campaign saying that he paid for access to Jeb Bush. When Jeb Bush was governor of Florida, Trump said he donated $50,000 to his campaign because he wanted access to Bush, because he wanted to put a casino in Florida. I mean, so he's saying that he's buying politicians. He said that that's what he did. He didn't contribute because he thought that Jeb Bush was a... Again,
but that's the system. But that's the system. That's the way the system works. So you can't point that out about Donald Trump without pointing out the fact that Hillary Clinton, of course, as Secretary of State, you know, went somewhere. I can't remember the details of it, but I would definitely have it for you. There was something that needed approval, and Hillary Clinton was the person that had to approve it. I'm going to find out the details of what that was. But that's the way the system works. That's my point. That's the way the system works. Donald Trump is going to upset the way the system works.
I don't think so. I think he's talking a good game, but I think, again, Trump is trying to have this outsider approach I think every dollar he's investing in this, people are still donating to him. I think he's going to make the money back just on name recognition for his hotels and everything else. So I don't think that he's necessarily doing anything for the betterment of this country. I think Trump just wants to have his name out there in the press. I think he wants to continue to be Donald Trump. I think he needs the, personally, I think he needs the media attention just for his own personal gratification. I don't necessarily, I mean, this is the question that I ask you. How is a person that has filed bankruptcy over 10 times qualified to be president? That basically tells us that he paid his bills. How is a person that's filed for bankruptcy multiple times, what makes him qualified to run the country?
What makes a what makes a person qualified to run for president who's never run a business?
The government is not a business. And that, from that standpoint.
Exactly. As his and as the government is not a business, but at the same time, there is a structure about the government that could be taught to you in doing business. And Donald Trump, I think, really kind of shows you a person that he knows business inside and out. Yeah, he's filed bankruptcy a lot of times, but at the same time, you know what? He's playing a game that many of us, we have too much pride to play. But at the same time, it's just a part of the system. He knows the system. He knows these politicians. And I don't know if you heard this during the debate, during the Republican debate, but had he donated to Hillary Clinton? He said, yeah, I donate to Hillary Clinton. And I donate to these guys because when I want something, I call them, I get it. And they said, well, what do you want from Hillary Clinton? I want her to come to my wedding. He said, I called her. I told her I wanted to come to my wedding. She came to my wedding. Now, you and I know it was probably deeper than that.
Right.
But what was it? I'd love to know what it really was.
Well, I think, again, we both know what it was. He wanted some type of favor. He wanted to curry favor with her. And he said, if I contribute to her, then I'll get that. I think that's a problem. I think, D, when you talk about a guy, when you talk about a successful business person, you look at a guy like Warren Buffett. He hasn't filed bankruptcy. So to say that Trump is playing the game, that's part of the problem. Because when he's played the game, you and I, the American taxpayers, we're the ones that bailed him out. So
is that a Donald Trump problem, is that a politician problem or a Donald Trump problem? Because I wouldn't blame Trump for that. I would blame the politician.
It's both. I don't think that he can't be qualified to run a country if you can't run your own businesses without running them in the ground. What he's shown to me by racking up debt and having more liabilities than he does assets, he's saying I'm not fit to manage something. So,
but
what
you and I would have
he
to know
run
the
a,
details.
He can manage a larger entity. If he can't
but
manage,
you and I would
the
have
larger
to know the details of that. You and I don't know the details of his bankruptcy, so we have no idea on whether or not he was in the red to the point where he ran the business into the ground or whether he was just trying to rearrange the debt. We don't know
again,
the details of that.
Again, if he's that good of a businessman, then he would be able to prevent those types of things from happening. If he's in charge
absolutely
of the country,
not.
He can't
absolutely
do that.
Not.
You can't run the country and then say, I'm going to run it into the ground. And then suddenly, who's going to bail you out? You are.
Okay, so look at
it.
Well, but look at the. Okay, but if you look at our financial situation right now, I mean, we could probably use some restructuring. And I don't know whether it's bankruptcy, but at the same time, we could probably use some help in that area. But
well, I think we need to have better policies with regard to war. I mean, we have to have better policies with regard to building walls across three states. Four states. I think we've got to have a better approach to things. I think we've got to look at private prisons. I think we've got to look at what has stopped this country from growing. And I think when you look at certain things, President Obama has got the country growing again. You look at the way that he has, you know, the unemployment rate is down. Everything he said he was going to do, he's done. Everything he said he was going to go in and do.
The calculation of the unemployment rate is a total joke, and it's always been a total joke.
Well, if it's been a total joke, then why has it been important for other people to say, well, I got it down to a certain level? And suddenly now that he has it down lower than it was when he came to office, it's suddenly now a joke.
Well, you look around, and we, as for as much as we talk about unemployment, man, the unemployment rate, especially for young black teenagers, is especially low. So, I mean, when we talk about that, brother, that's a whole other can of worms. But at the same time, I think that the president has, you know, done some very good things. I like the funding of education, of course, is just, you know, it's something I'm always a fan of. But, you know, we have some areas where we disagree. I definitely want to see him build up the military. I definitely want to see him do some things with regard to just security here in the United States. I'd love to see, you know, him, you know, I personally, man, I really love to see him. He needs to do some things like in Chicago. Chicago is like the Wild Wild West. Like, I would love to see him do some things. I would love to see him just go back there. And, you know, that's the kind of, I mean, that's the kind of access that Chicago should have right now with him being the president. It's like, dude, there's no way. That would be a source of pride for me, would just be like, I'm going to straighten out Chicago. Like, that's the first thing I'm going to do as president. Like, I'm going to straighten out my hometown. I don't care what I got to do. If I got to send military there to get it straightened out, to clean those gangs out, whatever I got to do, I'm going to straighten out Chicago. Because that's just, you know, what's going on there, just the number of killings and stuff that's taking place in Chicago is just crazy. So,
but yeah, I'm hoping I'm with you, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can move forward on that front, and that we can, of course, just keep this bus rolling. You know, but it's gonna require some sacrifices. I 100% believe that that it's gonna require some sacrifices, and we all gotta be willing to sacrifice and just, you know, do a little bit more where we can, man. So so it is what it is, man. But anything else, man, you want to add before we call it a show?
Hey, do you just want to remind the people, man, look, we appreciate you. We do this for you guys. We want to give you a voice, give you both sides of any argument, man. And sometimes we're going to be on the same side, and sometimes we're going to be on opposite sides, but you're going to hear different viewpoints and give you a chance to express yourself.
Exactly. And we didn't get to have our discussion about Black Lives Matter tonight, but we are going to have that discussion. So please stay tuned to our episodes, and we're going to get that going. I've got a buddy of mine, G. Jordan. I definitely want G to join us for that. So we're going to try to work some things out so that we can get him on for that Black Lives Matter conversation. And, you know, we really appreciate you guys listening to us. I do this because I enjoy it. I've really thought long and hard about coming back to do this radio show, but the reason I came back to do the radio show is because I think that we need to have more open dialogue, and I think we need to have open dialogue the way Q and I have dialogue. Q and I, we talk about this, but I bet you tomorrow we're going to be on the phone chopping it up about something else. We ain't studying this conversation, but it's great dialogue, makes him think, makes me think, and, you know, at the end of the day, it really allows us to have just that open dialogue that we need to move forward. So we really, really appreciate you tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you guys next time.
I appreciate you guys.
Talk to y'all soon.